Love this podcast? Support this show through the supporter feature from Acast. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Hi and welcome to this week's Snowcast. I'm your host as ever, DJ Walsh, and you're more than fucking welcome. It's been an absolute pleasure to have you. Thanks everyone so much for the incredible feedback to last week's podcast, where we basically called St. Patrick out. It was very refreshing. It was great. I think we inspired some American Yanks on TikTok as well, Owen. I see from the Twitter timeline. A lot of them were giving St. Patrick some shit during the week, which, you know, we
might. They can't do, they're not allowed to do that. We're allowed to give St. Patrick shit. Like, there's no.
Absolutely. 100%. 100%. But look, you know, we'll take it on the chin. We'll accept responsibility for the over-enthusiastic Irish Americans at this time of the year. I mean, it's more an American holiday than an Irish holiday anyway at this stage, isn't it?
I know, definitely, yeah. I think in Ireland we just use it as a means of protesting the lockdown. that's what we use it as this year.
Honest to God, like, I'm just thinking, you know, it's a complete nonsense of a bank holiday anyway. I think we touched on it last week, but like, imagine
we'll take it, boy.
100%. But imagine having a bank holiday on a Wednesday and having to go into work on a Thursday.
Yeah, like it is a farce for us in terms of. Like, it should be a 2 day or, you know, it should be, you know, Paddy's Eve should be the real night out, like, you know.
I mean, I'd be happy to sacrifice a weekend day to have a 2 day or, like, you know.
Yeah,
It wouldn't bother me any bit.
Come in on the Sunday or something.
Yeah.
Skip mass, come in on the Sunday.
Skip mass, come in, get into work on the Sunday, sure. Serve God in mysterious ways, just like Patrick did himself. But enough about Todd and the Sods. This week we haven't gone solo. We're joined by a very special guest, someone we're delighted to have in the podcast, and one of the many co-hosts of a podcast that I've been completely enamoured with over lockdown. It's the Modern Escapism podcast, which I absolutely love. It's I'm not going to explain what it is. We'll delve into that later on in a lot of detail. But Stuart Baker. Stu, how are you getting on, man? Welcome to Snowcast.
Yeah, hi, how you doing? I'm doing really well. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, but, I mean, people will be able to tell by your accent that you're a Brit. We won't hold that against you, but we thought it was very important to welcome a British friend onto the podcast and embrace you just like the Irish state has embraced another Brit in St. Patrick and whored him around the world. We're going to whore you around the world on this podcast this week.
Oh, excellent. Excellent.
Yeah, so you're the St. Patrick of Irish podcasting at the moment.
Yeah, it's going to be Stuart Baker's day.
Yeah.
I'll give you 2 days.
Yeah. Be the 20th of March, this day. Yeah.
All we want is the 18th, because then we can do them back to back, you know.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Actually, that's fucking good idea.
Yeah, we can have, like, people can pick a side and then they can, like, bare knuckle box to see who's their favorite. Like, you know, I'll be Team Stu all the way anyway.
Yeah.
Sure, Patrick's only a fraud. We've that well established. But yeah, the Modern Escapism podcast too is something that we'll delve into in an awful lot more detail after we go through our pilsners. But trying to tell the listeners what it is in a sentence or two there.
Yeah, basically it's a podcast where we try and escape from the real world news. So we talk about everything outside of politics and COVID and the news to just try and get away from all that shite. So we'll talk video games, films, books, TV, music, like whatever in popular culture.
Yeah, but badly needed now more than ever. And it sounds like you have an awful lot of fun preparing for recording. Like, you do a lot more preparation than we do.
Yeah. We first talk about stuff that we've been doing or experiencing or watching, etc. And then we have like a main topic every week, which we have a little bit of fun with. So,
yeah. I mean, our preparation is we go to the off license and, and often buy beer that we don't even drink on the podcast. Excellent. Speaking of a beer that we are going to drink on the podcast, I think, because I really want to get stuck into the Modern Escapism bit, because I think it's really important at the moment. But first, we're going to have our new weekly segment, Pilsner Prowl. Now, in typical Snowcast fashion, I gave Stu, like, less than 24 hours notice of what pilsners we bought, and Stu being in a different country didn't manage to get this. So we'll do this relatively quickly because I don't want to be rude to our guest and be talking about beers, but
I enjoy it.
Yeah. In fact, one of the first people to give me feedback on last week's podcast on the Pilsner Prowl aspect was Stu. So you're going to get to experience it in real life now, which is in real time, which is certainly differently. But Owen, have you the golden spreadsheet? Is she open?
Oh, she's open, yeah. Yeah. Entry number 3 is incoming.
All right.
So yeah, this week we're drinking Trinity Irish Pilsner from Third Circle Brewing Company. Is it? I always tend to, like, if I'm unsure, just add in brewing company at the end of a brewery, like, just like, oh yeah, that sounds like what their official title is. But yeah, Third Circle anyway.
Yeah, I don't think anyone's going to fight you on the adding the brewing company to the internet.
No, I know, but even if it's just like not their official title, I just like I like to add it in. A lot, most of them have it, like. What do you reckon about, like, just as an overall kind of taste?
Well, you know me now, I'm a divil for smelling a beer when I first pour it out or first get it or open the can, and then I loved straight away the kind of, again, this like the smells like raw ingredients, do you know what I mean, like the pure raw ingredients going to a brew. I got that smell from it. So it flared my nostrils. Maybe we should have added a nostril flare at the start of it, but sure, look, we've enough obscure measurements going on at the moment with this. But it's a really, really, again, it's a really enjoyable pilsner. I think we'll get into things in a bit more obscure detail in a minute, but I'm really enjoying drinking it. It's really drinkable, and I think it's different than the two pilsners we've drank so far. Very different, but that's not necessarily a bad thing.
Yeah, no, it's definitely. I don't know. I know it's obviously a lager, but it definitely just tastes like a lager. Do you know what I mean? Like, it has that kind of lagery taste about it.
Yeah.
And yeah, look, sure, let's go fucking straight into it. So first category, right, the ghoul and jig. Does it get the shoulders going, you know? Are you ready for a fight or a dance or whatever, you know, after taking a sip of this?
Right. I don't know how you feel, but I think the ghoul and jig is probably where she's weak.
I'll just have a sip here now, just to
swallow around there. So the more I drink it, the more it grows on me. So that's like the opposite of the ghoul and jig. Like, that's, you know. So the first sup, like with Tuula last week, the first sup was a real fucking go-getter.
Go-getter, yeah.
Whereas I think this is a more hunker down. You're not sitting on a high stool with this. You're sitting on a chair in around the table, you know.
Yeah, it's a bit more mellow, isn't it? Like, it kind of, it's... You know, I know we're kind of looking into this now because, you know, stout season is over and you're looking for your summer drink and, you know, what'll get you going for the summer. The evenings are getting longer, you know, you're looking for a beer garden thing. But this wouldn't be out of place at a, you know, winter fire in a pub, you know, in a snug, you know, that you'd have one of these and you'd sip away and have a few chats, you know.
No, she'd
be more mellow.
She'd do all year, and like, it's a beer that I would definitely go to for, you know, especially now, right? Look at today or this weekend where you'd have like Six Nations rugby on the telly all day and a bit of football. Imagine being in a pub. Imagine being in Henry Downs in Waterford today after Henry de Bromhead cleaned up at Cheltenham, right? And, you know, it's a pub owned by that family. So imagine you're there for the day and you're like, you go in early, you're on it for the day, you're watching the sport, enjoying the crack, because the atmosphere would be electric if you were in Henry Downs today after the week that family had over in Cheltenham.
Yeah, so I think you're onto something there. You're using this as something to settle nearly the already ghoulings going, yeah. You know, because you're piped up already for the weekend, for the crack that's after been had, and you need something just to, you don't want to fucking make sure the shoulders hit you in the ears, you know. Yeah.
And I think like this beer is probably going to score a lot worse on our ridiculous scoring system than it actually drinks. because I think it's a much more drinkable, like it has a lot more longevity, whereas we're kind of like what'll quench your thirst and what'll satisfy you from the first sip. It won't do that, but it'll satisfy you over 10 pints.
Right, so Ghoul and Jig then, what are we giving her?
How am I supposed to score this again?
So it's Bohemian Pilsner got 3 for €9.
Oh, yeah.
To Ull got 4 for €13. What are we giving this?
So I'm going to give it. So I think it's down the middle of the two of them. And I'm going to give it 5 for €13. 5 cans for €13. I don't know, like
5 for €13.
Yeah.
I was going to give it 2 for 7.
How does that even make sense? Like,
I don't know, right. But I've written 2 for 7 in the worksheet, so we're giving it that.
Okay, perfect. 2 for 7.
Right. The next category then is the quivering quencher. So your lip has been quivering after a full day of work, and this reaches those beautiful lips of yours, DJ, and you're trying to calm down that quiver. So what level of quiver do you think this will quench?
Firstly, I'm glad you touched on my lips, because they're like my defining feature, you know, like they're
Yeah, you always pout them.
After years of drinking beer, they're pretty much all I have.
Well oiled.
Yeah. And it's almost like the more my hairline recedes, the more my lips like flourish. again, I don't think this is this beer's strong point, which isn't a flight on the beer, but I don't think it's a quencher.
You say this about every category. It's not a strong point, but
no, but this, knock-on. This is the thing. Like, I think the way the scoring system is set up, it's set up this beer to fail when actually it's not a failure of a beer at all.
Yeah,
if that makes any sense. But yeah, like the quivering quencher is basically like how what impression does the first sip have on you, which is the exact same as the next. The next score. But look, hey, it's a perfect scoring system. We're not going to criticize that.
It's been validated
now. Yeah, so if a 9 on a Richter scale is 3 billion tons of dynamite, I'll give her a 1.7.
Oh yeah, okay, right. I'm happy. I took the first category, you can take that one. That's
out of interest, what had you written down?
I had nothing written down.
Give it a 1.7.
1.7 it is. Yeah, no, that does sound good. Yeah, it's nice. Again, it's not the. Is it the one that you'd run to the pub? Would you run and go like, oh God, I'm gasping now. Like, you know, I need to get a third circle. Like, you know.
It's so the thing I'd say there is, like, if you're going into pub after work on a Friday for one quick pint to go home, like, you're not going to go for this because it's not going to have that impact. But again, if you're hunkering down for a Saturday sport in the pub,
yeah,
kind of eases the job.
Right. The third category then is the post-pint gasp, and that's rated on a scale of that's bass.
Again, like, this is the thing. Like, it's basically the exact same score as the previous one, but just me, like, absolute shy talked away into doing the same.
No, this is the end. This is afterwards. This is afterwards. Yeah. This is your finish.
Oh, this is the sigh at the end, yeah.
Yeah.
I think that's B.
That's B. I mean, 1 second now. Let me just... I'll do a live reaction, Neil. That's... Yeah, you're not wrong.
Stu, would you mind me asking, did you have, like, this is showing my ignorance now, did you have Bass over in the UK?
I think so. It's not something.
It's not mainstream over there. Like. No.
Well, it's not mainstream here anymore either. Like,
yeah, but like we had was it the Dubliners who did that TV ad, wasn't it?
Yeah.
They're like an Irish folk band who were huge, like huge in Ireland. Did this TV ad about Bass. Like, they also did a great one on Guinness too. That does around on social media every now and again. Right. What's the next?
The next one is just the gibber.
Oh yeah.
So just that's the gibber.
Like, this is now, like a 5 gibberating, isn't it?
Yeah, a 5 gibberating. I actually think there's good jib on her now. Like,
top jib in this
final. I think there's a fucking top jib on this. Like, I was very impressed on that.
She has great carbonation. There's fine. She's a fine hitting her to start. When you hold her up to the light, she sparkles golden.
So, what we say? Four.
I'd give her the five jibs. I think it's great.
Five jibs out of five.
Yeah, yeah.
Jesus. Okay, five it is. And then our last category then is poke ability. So what is it in comparison to the one and only Puck Pilsner?
So I think, like, it's tough comparing it to Puck Pilsner, because Puck Pilsner, it did, like, as I said last week, you had this fucking absolute aura about it. No, we just created this aura ourselves. Like, I'm not sure. I thought, like, if it was as good as we said it was, your man Jack Cody never would have given up Bruin.
No.
but what I would say is, like, right, so they use, like, it's 4.4%. They use German hops in it to give it that, like, undeniable Pilsner lager taste, right? So it's absolutely a Pilsner, like, undoubtedly. A phenomenal beer. But again, like, if it's not going, like, a Puck Pilsner had both that quenchability, that bassability, and also had that, like, longevity to do you 10 pints throughout the day, as we often had. So I think, yeah, we gave the Ulla 25 out of 10,000. Yeah. And we gave...
out of 100,000.
And we gave Bohemian. What did we give Bohemian?
Bohemian, we gave it 63,274.28.
So I think she's somewhere in between. So maybe we'd give her, like, 46,212.
46,000... What'd you say? 212.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because, I was thinking 46,312. Yeah, but
yeah, look, either or. Because, yeah, like, she has that, like, long, like, that session ability, that, like, consumer ability, but she doesn't have that, like, slap you in your face, your thirst is quenched ability.
Yeah, so like she came in hot and heavy there at the end, like the jib of her and the poke ability really bumped her up there, you know.
Yeah, because I think the other parts of the scoring system are just not weighted towards this beer. But that's, look, we don't fucking make the rules.
We just don't make the rules.
We don't make the rules. We just make them.
We don't make the scoring system either. It's,
the scoring system is it's like a live, living object.
Right, we can go back to Stu now.
Yeah, Stu, thanks for waiting patiently. Like, a decent podcast would have had this pre-recorded, or would have waited, like, till tomorrow to record it. But no, you had to suffer through it in live time.
No, it's fine. No suffering there.
Can I ask you a question now?
Mm-hmm.
So you've heard our two previous podcasts, and you've seen us do this scoring for this one. Which of the three Pilsner so far would you like to try the most?
Probably the first one.
Oh,
yeah.
I can't remember the name. Sorry.
It was the Bohemian Pilsner. Oh,
yeah, that one.
That was good beer.
That was good. Yeah.
Yeah. They've all been good. I don't have any qualms. Like, this is actually a lovely, like, this is a lovely little quest to find Pilsners each week, because, and we haven't confined it to Ireland as well. But we have kind of said, like, it has to be like an independent brewery. Or else we have to think it's an independent brewery. Like, we have a German one that we're going to drink at some stage. And I just had to, like, do you know when you go onto Google, onto a website, and you Google literally translates the website from German to English for you. So, like, I'm going off this, that this is an independent brewery, but I don't know. But it looks good anyway.
It was one of those ones as well where, you know, you scroll down to the very, very, very bottom of the page and you're just, like, looking for that, like, Heineken copyright or something at the very end, you know.
It's like, I was in Rome, in an Irish bar in Rome a couple of years ago, and I got this pale ale that was piss poor, and I was actually, like, so disappointed. I was like, it looked legitimately locally brewed. And all that. And then when I looked into it, it was like one of those fucking, it was like Cute Whore or one of those knockout, like those fake craft beers that, like, fucking Molson or someone had.
I had a beautiful beer in Rome. I took the name of it and then I searched it when I got back home. It was just like, it was just a local one. Couldn't get it anywhere. I was like, absolutely gutted because it was so good.
Just some local lad brewing it like in...
Yeah, it was just, I was just like, oh, I was in the restaurant and I was like, oh, I'll stuff that. But it just turned out to be like really good.
Yeah. I'll have a Coliseum pale ale or something like that.
Right. Moving on from the Pilsners now. And let's focus on, right, Stu, in honor of you coming on the podcast tonight. Oh, and have you actually, before we, have you started your beer for tonight?
Or have you? Which, my English brew?
Yeah.
No, but I can.
This is a professional beer podcaster here. Like,
this is what he does, like, you know. You know what I mean?
He's finishing his Pilsner off, it's fine.
Yeah, before I'll come
to you. Actually just necked the end of that Pilsner, so I'm good to go.
I'll come to you last anyway. But like the for a bit of background here, like myself, Owen and Stu were just having a bit of a chat before we started recording, and we were discussing the flow and the sequencing of the podcast. And Owen had just opened a can and we decided to go to Pilsner at the start. He hadn't opened the Pilsner. So he's just like mowing through the can.
Yeah.
All because he's a professional podcaster, folks.
Hey. Exactly. Going through the beers for each section, for each segment.
Hey, it's not the first time.
Absolutely. But Stu, in honor of you being our English guest on today, we decided we were going to go with locally independently brewed English breweries to drink on the podcast once we had dispensed of our Pilsners. So Stu, I'll come to you first as the guest of honor. What are you drinking tonight?
I got a crate from the Black Sheep Brewery. So Black Sheep are very local to me, about 15 minutes down the road. It's very close. And I've never really drank much from them before. It's only recently I've been kind of delving into different style of beers. I used to just be a bit of a lager boy. But I've started like trying different ones. So I got their Flock crate, which is full of different ones. And so tonight I've had a milk stout. I started out the podcast with a Holy Grail, which is their Monty Python inspired. That was a golden ale. And I've just opened their Velo pale ale.
Amazing.
So both of them are very nice. I wasn't, the milk stout was all right. It's not really my kind of thing. Dark beers like that. This is a bit more my level with the golden pale ales and things like that.
Yeah.
Is this all the one brewery? Is it all Black Sheep? Is it?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh yeah. Cool.
Yeah, they do this Flock crate, which is just like one each of their staples in a crate, isn't it? Like
yeah, six 500ml bottles.
Yeah, that's what you want though. And like I've had Black Sheep. Like I'm actually on a Black Sheep tonight, because it's a great brewery. Like we do get Black Sheep over here. They do distribute to, I think, Grand Central, which is beer distributors here in Ireland. But what I love is that they've got such a variety. Like golden ale is not a style that you see that often now, which is just a fucking brilliant style that I love. Like when we did the Candemic series in November, the first beer I drank was the West Kerry Brewing Golden Ale. It's just such a pure, like old school, like deliciously clean style of beer.
Yeah, I mean, I'm gutted really. I was meant to do the tour around there.
Oh, really?
Last year, yeah. Me and my friends decided, right, we're going to go around the Black Sheep Brewery. It was meant to be in April last year. And for obvious reasons, it's it got cancelled. So we're kind of still sat on that. But I'm looking forward to going on that tour because it's meant to be really good. Basically,
I love that, man. Like you're honing in on the podcast vibes there. You're just saying for obvious reasons, like no mention of the big C, no mention of anything. Yeah. Like.
That's because we don't do it on ours. Like we try to avoid mentioning it. Obviously, we can't avoid it every now and again. So we just kind of say like, for obvious reasons, like cinemas being shut or something like that. We just kind of move on. Yeah,
it's so good. I love that. I absolutely love that. It's so fucking good.
It's like He Who Must Not Be Named, like, you know, it's
pretty much
brilliant. So I'm actually, Stu, to follow on from you there, I'm on a Black Sheep Ale as well, which is the Black Sheep Ale, their Amber Ale.
Yep.
Like you said, they're from Yorkshire, just down the road from yourself. And again, this is the same strength actually as the Pilsner, the Trinity Pilsner from Turt. from Third Circle, 4.4%. And like, I love amber ales. I just think it's such a lovely style. It's like where fucking golden ale meets red ale. It's got that lovely, like barley, earthy flavor to it, mixed with that fucking malty bitterness. Like for me, it's a lovely style, and I think they've just knocked out a really solid, delicious, incredibly drinkable amber ale there. Like it's really, really fucking good. And you know what? I actually love their branding as well, Black Sheep. Like, you know, it's not like one's going to talk about a brewery later on that is has very, very busy branding. But I like the Black Sheep. It's like fairly simple branding. There's nothing too crazy going on. Reminds me actually of West Kerry Blue, and where, like, you know, it's a fairly simple label here, this Black Sheep ale that I have. No messing. All the folks on the beer, and it's a top notch beer. I'd highly recommend it. It just tastes lovely, and it's just really, really nice to drink. I'm definitely going back to Black Sheep for more beers when I decide to become a traitor.
Yeah, the branding is good. Actually, it's like kind of instantly recognizable. I mean, It is just a black sheep, like on the logo. So, but like, I like these. So like they've done this like Monty Python range. I think there's a beer for each of the three films that they've teamed up and done. So like one, there's like a Holy Grail, like a Meaning of Life, and the Life of Brian Cat one. But this Holy Grail is the only one that comes with this crate. But that's quite a cool branding as well, because it just has like the, I don't know if you can see on the bottle.
Oh yeah, class. Is there a movie poster?
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, it's like,
you love to see it, Owen. What are you drinking tonight? You've gone across the puddle as well.
Yeah, yeah. So I'm with a London-based brewery, Beavertown, which are like quite popular, aren't they? Like they would have been like known here. Would have been probably one of the big kind of exports to Ireland as well, like in terms of availability and off licenses and stuff. So I have the Beavertown Bloody Ale, Blood Orange IPA. And yeah, it's lovely. It's like one of those stubby cans. It's 5.5%. And it's lovely because, you know, the way sometimes with IPAs, they like, you know, you love a good IPA that's like, you know, packed full of a punch of flavor and stuff. But sometimes it can go over the top with like the citrusiness, or can go over the top with how fruity they are and stuff like that. Which is fine if you're just going to enjoy one, but I'd actually recommend this one if you were having a few cans, because the blood orange taste of it is quite subtle, and it's just like a lovely beer to drink. So yeah, I highly recommend it. And as you were saying about their branding of the can, it's just mental. Like it's this kind of a skull with all these kind of I don't know, flecked artwork and stuff around it, like, but also cool. Like, you know, you can't knock a brewery for going out there and just being consistent with going absolutely out there as well.
Yeah, for me, they're like the level below BrewDog in terms of like British independent brewery, like recognizability in Ireland, anyway, for certain.
And yeah, like, definitely. Yeah.
Anytime we've gone to the UK, for work or for pleasure, and we've been in a pub, like you can get something from them, especially around London. Like in London, they're in every pub, and like their Gamma Ray is just something that, like, if I'm in the UK and I see Gamma Ray on tap, it's something that I'm very comfortable going to, because I know it's a great beer. I know I talked up the Black Sheep's very simple branding, but I love the kind of madness, just the chaos.
It's kind of like psychedelic looking, isn't it? Like, yeah,
absolutely. And I think it's almost like, you know, the way Daft Punk brought out Discovery, they had this like running cartoon as their music videos.
Oh yeah,
it was almost like this cartoon, like abstract element to the Beavertown labeling as well, which I really, really enjoy. But then
that was a good segment though, because like the thing that must not be named, there was a lot of travel between us, I suppose, our travel of us to the UK, like going to matches and things like that, like, you know. But you know, like we often would have got a few cans from a Tesco or whatever to go to, like, back to the hotel or whatever, you know, and have a few before heading out, or whatever. But like, I don't think we would have had that kind of head loss at the time to kind of look for these independent craft breweries, like, you know.
Yeah. So the exception to that is probably in 2016 when we were in Yorkshire. Actually, we were in just outside Leeds, and we ended up in this kind of, it was like a country pub.
Yeah.
And we just, I think we were on Brewdog that night, something from Brewdog.
Yeah, we were also on just the fucking pub, oh, yeah, pubs, yeah. Just the kind of whatever local fucking swill they had on the tops there. Like,
that's a cultural thing, Stu, in the north of England, I think, is it? Or like, you know, that those kind of cask ales, those pumps. You know, where did you just go in and there's something on the pump, like you just pull out a fucking bitter or a lager that's locally brewed or whatever. We don't have that here.
Yeah, no, that's definitely something that happens a lot around here. Yeah. You go to most pubs will have something local on a pump.
Yeah, yeah. I always find it just so weird, like the like, like this, like, it just doesn't sound right, like what's going on. Like, you're like, oh my God, you're trying to force this thing into the pint glass.
Yeah, I mean, a lot like, say, because where I'm from, being close to Black Sheep, a lot of the, like, especially the village pubs and stuff, they all have Black Sheep on.
Oh, yeah.
What those pumps remind me of when they go and you hear the gas engage and everything is like, you know the scene in the Titanic where the water comes into the engine room and your man runs over and he just pulls the big lever, like, that's what it reminds me of. Right, I think we'll take a quick break because my glass is empty and I don't have a can within arm's reach. You may or may not hear an advert. And when we come back, we're going to delve into modern escapism, what it's about, why you should listen to it. And also, we're going to talk a bit about TV and film and gaming and shit like that. So stay with us. We're back in the room. You may or may not have heard an advertisement there. Stu, actually, inform me before the break that often he doesn't hear one in his geographical location. So probably what they've done, Sue, there, I reckon, is the host inside has looked at us and said, you're such fucking idiots that there's nothing we can sell to the people of Yorkshire for what you're saying.
Yeah.
The only thing they can sell is a plane ticket as far away from Waterford as they can possibly get.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't really know what happens sometimes with our thing. Like, we just publish and hope for the best of all the time. Like, you know, so apologies if it cocks up sometimes.
It's our excellent editing skills that we don't use often enough. But sure, look, here we are speaking about excellent podcast. Stu, you briefly introduced us to modern escapism there earlier, so. Why don't you tell us how it came about? Like, how did Modern Escapism as a podcast come about? Because it's a relatively new podcast. You've got 33 episodes, I think, out. 33. The format's really interesting to me. It's a long listen. I listen to it in different segments, but I always come back to it because I want to fucking find out how you conclude your conversations and stuff. So it'd be great if you could just give us a bit of an insight into how it came about.
Yes, basically. One of the guys has done podcasting for years now, and we were all kind of part of a Discord community from another podcast, and he just put in there, he was having trouble with starting his previous podcast up again because of the pandemic. They all used to record in one room, and he was struggling to get the guys to do like a Zoom call or something. So he just said he really wanted to get back into podcasting. Does anyone want to start a new podcast? So several people messaged him. We set up our own little private Discord and seven of us jumped into that. That's kind of whittled down now to just four of us. So that's kind of where we started, really. It was just one guy messaged out, do you want to start a podcast? And those of us that were interested jumped on.
And did he have like a topic for you? Like, did he have like what he considered like a basis for the podcast, or was he just like spitballing, I want to start a podcast, like, you know, or was he rolling off the last one?
Yeah, nothing to start with at all. He just wanted to start a new podcast, and then we got into this group, and then the ideas flowed. Like, what do we want to discuss? What do we want to do? we're all into our gaming. That's where the other Discord was from a gaming podcast. So I said I want to do some gaming, but I don't want to be predominantly gaming because we're kind of just, I don't want to piggyback off another podcast.
Yeah.
And, you know, oh, we're another gaming podcast, everything. So
there's so many out there and stuff.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I want to be a bit more niche. Something a bit more different.
Yeah.
So we just cover everything, really. We decided on a format, what we want to do. If you do listen to us, you'll find out that we use nicknames because we met each other online. We all have online monikers and we kind of just refer to each other like that. So that's how we just carried on referring to each other on the podcast. So my online gaming tag is Stigweird. It's like a old English way of it's where the word Stuart comes from.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, when I was trying to think of like a name for online gaming, I was like, oh, what can I think of? And I just sat there in my room and my mum had bought me one of these plaques, you know, that like tells you where your name comes from and what it means and everything. And I was like, oh, that's a bit different. So I went with that, and then everyone just shortened it down to Stig because it's just easier.
Oh, that's cool, yeah.
Yeah, so we all use like nicknames on the show rather than our real names.
So what's the basis of the format then of the show? How does a normal show run out?
So normal show, basically, there's four of us on, and Oodles, who hosts, will just ask us what we've been up to. So we'll talk about a film we've watched, a game we've played, a book we've read, some music we've listened to, anything really that's like in pop culture or like media. We'll talk about what we're doing. And it doesn't have to be anything new. It could be things from years ago that we've only just discovered. Like this week and the last couple of weeks, one of the guys has been talking about discovering Wes Anderson films.
Oh, cool. Yeah.
Yeah. And now I talked about a documentary that came out like 2 years ago. So it's anything really that we've just been doing that week.
And do you try and watch the same thing as somebody else on the show, or do you kind of spitball what your experience of it is and see if anybody else has seen it before or whatever? Is that?
Yeah, we don't try and link up anything. No one says like, oh, I'm going to watch this, why don't you watch it and we'll discuss it. Yeah. We just bring something different to the table. And, you know, if someone's, say, for example, it's a film, if one of us has seen it, then we can obviously talk about it because we've seen it. A lot of the time we'll find, especially with our listeners, a lot of them have told us that we really help them out with that, figuring out what to watch syndrome.
Oh, so, you know, fuck, you go on Netflix, man, that's the worst thing ever, isn't it? Yeah. Like, oh, that Netflix scrolling shit is the worst. Like, just like...
Yeah, exactly.
Like, you watch more trailers than you watch shows, you know?
Yeah, we've been told that, like, we've helped people go like, oh, right, well, I know that's on Netflix.
Mm.
I'm just going to go watch that this week or something like that. So it's good to know that people obviously taking on.
What's your approach? Just to find out, like, what's your approach to like watching shit? Like, you know, are you kind of a trailers guy? Are you a reviews guy? Are you like, you know, do you just stumble upon, just play whatever the fuck, you know?
I'm really into films.
Yeah.
But I'll watch anything. Like, I'll watch films from the 1920s all the way up to like modern day stuff. So I've got a huge watch list and I try to work through some of that. So I'll kind of, just depends on what mood I'm in.
Are you adding to that watch list then just from like recommendations other people have spoken about or whatever? Yeah. That's cool.
I've got about 600 films on my watch list or something stupid.
Ever growing, like, yeah.
Yeah. My approach is I'm just trying to work through things like that. But and then obviously there's like the shows I've been watching for years. If it's a new series or something, I'll be watching that and I'll talk about that.
What I love from listening to it as well is, like, you know, you're really clear. You know, if someone's talking about something, someone will always pipe in and say, right, where are you watching? Like, where is this available? And they'll be like, oh, this is on Amazon Prime or it's on Netflix or it's on, you know, you've spoken in recent podcasts well about Disney Star and like what's been available on that and stuff. So like, it's really handy because when I'm listening to you guys and I'm like, fuck it, that's something that I'd want to get stuck into. You're always like, yeah, you can find it here. So for me, then I don't need to fucking be trying to search in Netflix and give up and come back a few days later and say, fuck it, I'm going to seeing how it was on Disney Star and all that, which is really, really good. And you do, like, I like the way you don't coordinate it as well, because what I found is listening, someone will say, oh, you were talking about this a couple of weeks ago, so it led me on to this new thing. And it's always, it's almost like you're inspiring each other to watch and play and read different things. So then that, as a listener, that's like, right, I need to fucking watch or listen or play to something else as well, you know? So it's a lovely kind of balance, because it's just, it's not forced. It's not like we have all played this game, so you have to go and play it now. It's like, well, I played this, I read this, I watched this, you know? So
yeah. Yeah, it's completely random. There's like, say, there's no like linking up on, we're going to watch this. I mean, we do those kind of things, but we're kind of trying to save them for like little specials we might do. So for like example, this week, three of us have watched the new Justice League cut. And because we've kind of all got a different opinion on it and have quite a lot to say about it, we're going to record a special for that rather than just 5 minutes at the start of this week's recording. We're going to do a little special for that. So we will do things like that. But yeah, majority is, there's four of us. Each of us have 5 to 10 minutes to chat about it at the beginning. And anyone can pipe in with for their thoughts and stuff on it as well.
Yeah, well, that Snyder Cut is probably long enough as well for everyone to have an opinion on.
4 hours long. I managed to do it in one sitting at least.
Jeez, fair play. It reminds me of, what was that? The Irishman, you know, on Netflix.
Yeah, that was.
Did you watch that? Oh my god,
that was a long watch. Yeah, it took me
grueling.
Ages to actually watch that as well. I think it took me a year before I even got around to watching it.
Yeah, yeah, and then we were out of lockdown by the time we finished.
Yeah.
So Stu, like, as long as I've known you, like, you've been like this TV and film buff that has like so much knowledge on, especially films and stuff like that. So if someone was to say, right, I've never watched a film in my life. If Michael Owen said, come up to you in the street, because Michael Owen has said this publicly.
Like,
said,
five films.
Yeah, I've never seen a film in my life.
what a weirdo.
What's the one film everyone should see before they die?
Ooh, good question.
Oh, the one film. I think I'd just suggest my favourite film, which is Die Hard.
Oh, class.
Yeah.
Christmas film or not?
Yeah.
I class it as a Christmas film.
Yeah.
There's so many Christmas references, it can't not be.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it has been a bit of a butt of a joke on the podcast about the first several weeks. It was like, can you get a Die Hard reference in there? So it's, you know, there are technically better films, better made films out there, but...
Is there a funner film?
No, like your favorite film doesn't have to be the best film ever, does it? Yeah. Like, so for me, it's just like, watch Die Hard, have an amazing time.
Yeah. It's like the Fast and the Furious series. Like, you know, they're absolutely trash films, like, but they're just so fun to watch. Like,
proper guilty pleasure then.
Yeah. Pure bonkers. Like, yeah.
But it's kind of like when I'm talking about films with people, because I'm not a film, like, I can't name directors. I'm terrible with actors' names, but I'm like, right, if I watch film, I like it. So I've often found, like, the film that probably has stood with me the most from when I was younger is Cinema Paradiso. Like, I remember watching that in school and being like a fucking 15, 16-year-old male who, like, doesn't give a fuck about these things and thinking, that's incredible. Like, I don't know what it is, but it's special. Do you know that kind of way? Mm. You ask me my favorite film then, it's probably something like, you know, like you say, it's not the best made film, but it's probably something that really fucking hits home with what you're passionate about. So, like, I love The Rush as a film where, like, you know, about James Hunt and Niki Lauda, because I'm a big Formula One fan. I'm sticking with motorsport. I saw Le Mans 66 in the last year. And that was really, really good with Christian Bale. And it was like the Ford versus Ferrari thing from Le Mans. So, like, I think it's very much like what's your passion and what fucking interests you. So you have the background interest. And you do this brilliant thing as well, Stu, where Owen mentioned trash there. You've been doing this thing as well every now and again where you talk about trash TV or like...
Oh, yeah.
That's my favorite segment of modern escapism, because, like, there's so much... I think as well, like, kids nowadays growing up now will not have no concept of trash TV, because everything is streamed or everything is you know, they can't, so they don't have this thing where, which we had when we were growing up, where like if you were at home on your own on a Thursday evening and you weren't going anywhere, there was nothing to do but watch TV. And especially like, you know, I'm like before this like fucking Sky Plus era when we were younger, where like, you know, you had 10 channels or 12 channels at home. So like you had limited choices and you had to watch some fucking trash back in the day. So like, wow. I have a bit of insight into that, like the trash TV side of things, like how has that made its way onto the podcast? And it's something I love on it anyway.
Yeah. So the other thing we do after we've kind of done our talk about what we've been doing is we have like a main segment each week. And this literally ranges from anything. I mean, sometimes it's not even anything to do with media. We'll just talk about anything really. So we'll pick a subject, and one that came up recently was your favorite trash TV. So we're talking about things like you just stick on and you just love to watch. So I brought up things like Storage Wars and Just Tattoo of Us. Like if you've seen that show where friends get design a tattoo and get it tattooed on their friends, and usually it ends up with being some horrendous tattoo that someone gets. We just have a lot of fun with that main segment, and we just sometimes it's, you know, we'll delve into things that we're quite passionate about. If it's something to do with, say, gaming, or this recent one we did was about films and game scores and like soundtracks and things. And then other times we'll just go off the rails and do something stupid. We did one about YouTube rabbit holes, like those kind of things where you'll just click on something and you'll just why you watch it. And if you listen to that one, I brought something to the table that got a really, well, to be honest, a brilliant reaction, because they were quite kind of disgusted with what I brought to the table. So yeah, we just kind of do those kind of things. We just, yeah, anything and everything we kind of try and think of. We don't.
Well, no, I can't leave you go without saying what everyone was absolutely disgusted with.
Well, I was trying to get people to tune in and listen to it. But I was first up. See, we did a show on Guilty Pleasures, and one of Oodles basically brought something to the table. He's talking about he likes to read porn comments. Oh, you know, yeah. Like on porn videos, like read the comments underneath, and like goes for like a bit of a rabbit hole reading porn comments. And then he said something about chewing his toenails or something. And so I thought when it came to YouTube rabbit holes, I was probably going to talk about something disgusting. And he wasn't the worst one. I was. And I brought up, you know, like pop spotting videos.
Oh,
and
Jesus Christ, yeah. Man. Oh, God. I've done this. I've done this before myself. And it's the worst thing you can ever do. Like, God, yeah, it's such a fucking, like, it's horrible, but it's such a fucking pleasurable thing.
Yeah, exactly.
But it, like, it became a Facebook phenomenon for a while, where like you couldn't, you, like the moment you tap the Facebook icon on your phone,
yeah,
you're a fucking spot popping video.
Yeah,
but I don't know. Like, I think YouTube rabbit holes are phenomenal. How do we never talk about YouTube rabbit holes on this? Like, we definitely talk about it in the pub sometimes. Like, I go down these YouTube rabbit holes where I'll watch a TV show. Like, I rewatched the US Office recently. And then I keep on going down these YouTube rabbit holes of interviews with the actors. Or like, do you know when they do these like festivals where they talk about a series and there's like these panels? Mm-hmm. I can't help myself but get stuck in these YouTube rabbit holes of these interviews and stuff.
Mm.
Which is not disgusting.
I had a good one recently actually of gender reveal fails. So it's just there's just so many good ones. There's ones like, you know, like there's these like two little kids, and then the pregnant mom and the dad were there, like, you know, and the dad's there with this like fucking gigantic novelty like pin to pop the balloon, like, you know. And so it's like this big huge like black balloon, like, you know. And, you know, the big countdown, then, you know, 3, 2, 1, and the kids leave go of the balloon. And the balloon just falls off into the sky. And they're like, no! Oh fuck, it's so good. Yeah, that was a classic one. That was really good. I got a great laugh out of that. But yeah, but it's you know, it gets to that point as well where, you know, you enjoy it for say the first hour or so of doing it, and then like there comes a point where you go, what the fuck am I doing? What the fuck am I watching?
Usually that's about 1 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah. Actually, yeah, it's probably not. It's not probably based on length of time watched. It's probably based on time of day.
Yeah.
Where you go, fuck, what the fuck?
I'm now an expert on how to build a little mud hut
in Cambodian
forest.
Yeah.
If you've seen those videos, those guys are incredible. Like building these little huts, like showing you how to make it look clear and everything to build these huts. It's crazy.
I think the casting about those videos are like they start off really, really slow. And then you just sped up thing. So like the first couple of minutes, it shows you like the basic fundamentals of getting started.
Mm.
And then they like power through all like heavy lifting bits, basically.
Mm.
So in your head, subconsciously, you're like, I could build a hut in a day.
Yeah.
It's taking them by like 4 weeks.
Yeah.
Like they kind of trick you in the way they edit the videos. So they're like, it almost in your head, it looks like, Jesus, they've only been at that a couple of hours. That's no bother.
It's like, you know, those like GIF recipes and stuff, you know, where like, you know, people are like cooking like or baking, I don't know, like salted caramel brownies or something, you know, and it's like, you know, all you see is like these like tiny, tiny little bowls of like, you know, the sugar and the salt and like the cream and all this, like, but everything is already weighed out perfectly, like, you know, and it's like, you know, add in your salt, add in your sugar, add, you know, and it's just like, you know, stir quick, you know, all this shit, like, you know. And then like when you go to do the fucking thing, you're like weighing out for about half an hour, like,
yeah,
you know, like you're peeling a mango or something. You're like, what the, this is fucking taking way too long. Like, those boys did that in 30 seconds. Like,
saw the caramel brownies in less than 5 minutes. You're like 5 minutes in trying to figure out the recipe list.
Exactly.
Snap the fingers, don't they? Like, it all of a sudden changes from ingredients to brownie.
Yeah.
That's something my wife gets stuck on, actually, is Instagram videos on recipes. Like sometimes I'll be out trying to talk to her and she'll just like not be listening and be like, are you watching food videos on Instagram again?
Yeah, I don't mind that though, like, because I think Kira has more patience than I do with those things and actually like follows through with the end product, like, you know. So I always come out the winner of these things, you know.
No, Niamh never actually goes and cooks them, like.
I did it once. There was I came on an advert and it was like after showing this curry, but it just kept skipping through like the sections what to do really quickly.
Yeah.
So I kept going back and like, right, okay, I need that much. And I made a note of it all. It was a really nice curry. I actually managed to get it done in the end, but like it took me about 5 minutes to go back through this 30-second advert to get actually all the ingredients and how much you needed.
Yeah, because like sometimes as well, like they don't have, like you have to, I don't know, click into a link. Oh my God. Do you know those recipe web pages, man, where they have a book's worth of text beforehand being like, you know, it was the autumn of 2016 and I was frolicking through fields in North Carolina where I discovered upon a field of mushrooms and it was this that made me think of this risotto. And you're like, where the fuck is the recipe? Like, I just want like ingredients and method. Like, that's what I want.
Yeah, but whoa, like, how are they supposed to tell you the recipe if they're tripping on the mushrooms?
I know. But like, that has to be like advertising space, is it? Is that the crack that they're doing that for? Like that they're trying to fill as much text so that like advertisers can just fill up their page with like ads, I think.
Yeah, it must be that, like, yeah. If you go through those things, you scroll down through about five different adverts, don't you?
Yeah. Oh fuck,
in North Carolina when I got thirsty, I had a sweet cool can of Coca-Cola.
Yeah,
it was the only thing that could quench my thirst because the Pilsner Prowl had not come up with anything that registered 9 on the Richter scale yet.
Not yet.
Stu, where can people find Modern Escapism podcast? Because I highly recommend it.
Yeah, so we drop a new episodes every Thursday. If you just search Modern Escapism on any podcast app, we're on there. You'll see we've just got some new artwork done recently, actually, because our original artwork was shocking. So yeah, you'll see us there. It's the little spaceman with a neon sign. We're at Modern Escapism on Twitter as well, and all of our links and stuff for socials and stuff are on there.
Yeah, we'll tag Modern Escapism in this podcast when we release it on social media.
Why don't we do a little episode of Modern Escapism right now, right? So it doesn't have to be something that you've planned for your next release or anything, or it can be something that you've already spoken about, sure. But let's go a quick round, one thing that we've all watched or played or viewed or whatever in the last week or whatever. Does that suit you, Sue?
Yeah, sure.
DJ, will I go for you first?
Yeah, I'll go first.
Go for it.
So basically, the story behind this was my two little cousins who, or anybody that starts talking about what he who shall not be named, are in my fucking bubble because I'm up helping them on the farm. My two little cousins stayed at our house last weekend and I was like, right, we'll watch a film. And I was doing that fucking Netflix scroll trying to see what film. And I thought, hey, this film, actually, they'll really enjoy it. It's really funny. It'll be really great. The boys are 11 and 9. So like, I thought, this is perfect film. Niamh says to me, it says 15s. Do you want them to watch? I was like, it'll be no problem. It's funny. Look, it's fine. There won't be anything beyond them. We hit play. Niamh had never seen this film, so she had nothing to gauge it against. And I was like, oh, it's grand. Like, I watched it loads. You know, I watched it when we were in college, like fucking 57 times, but I hadn't watched it since. And the intro to it is a song. This is a callback to episode 4 of the Snowcast, Owen, all those years ago. Mm. The intro is Jackie Moon singing Lexi. I wanted to show my 11 and 9-year-old cousins fucking semi-pro, which obviously after like 3 minutes, Niamh was like, turn it off and put something child-appropriate on, being a responsible adult that she is. So I did. But we watched it today. We watched it like fucking, today is a Saturday. We watched it like 12 o'clock on a Saturday, semi-pro. And it was so fucking good. Like, it's one of those that, you know, a lot of those comedy films from that era probably don't hold up as well today in terms of like, you know, what comedy is acceptable. I'm thinking like Balls of Fury really, really does not travel well in terms of like being culturally appropriate modern day. Semi-pro isn't bad, like, you know, and it has like Andre 5000 playing this maverick basketball player. It has Woody Harrelson, which I think is really, really funny because he plays this like really fucking old beyond his peak basketball player. And I like to think that Woody Harrelson in semi-pro is playing the Woody Harrelson from White Men Can't Jump when he's like ready to retire.
Oh, yeah.
It doesn't line up chronologically because Semi-Pro takes place in 1976 and White Men Can't Jump takes place in the
90s, is it?
Or 90s. The,
yeah.
That being said, like, you know, it's a really good, it's just such a fucking easy watch. And given the obvious circumstances, to use a modern escapism, given the circumstances, that bit of fucking just nonsense is more than welcome. So yeah, I recommend Semi-Pro if you don't want to watch a serious film and you want to watch a film that's well under the 2 hours and just easy watching.
Yeah, those Will Ferrell films are just so good, aren't they? Just pure, like, just a pure escape with, like, you know, like Step Brothers is always just a go-to that you can just like, it's just, you can just watch. And like, you know, even as well, like Elf at fucking Christmas as well, it's just quality watching, you know.
Like Step Brothers and Anchorman have to be the two most quotable films ever.
Yeah, Definitely, yeah.
And even semi-pro, like, there's a lot of gifs out there from semi-pro that are brilliant. Like, everybody love everybody, everybody panic. You know, there's a lot of gifs that crop up. And there's some brilliant characters. And actually, like, there's some brilliant actors who have smaller roles before they hit it big. Like, Ed Helms has a couple of lines in it. You know, there's some great little cameos as well. So it's cool. Like, you see Ed Helms pop up and you're like, oh my God, you're Stu from The Office, or you're Stu from The Hangover and Andy from The Office. And here you are with like a two or three line part in like what is a terrible film, but a terribly enjoyable, terrible film.
Yeah. Yeah. That's class, man. Yeah. Fuck. Yeah. I must go back and watch some Will Ferrell films. Cause yeah, they are like quintessentially escapism. Like,
Yeah.
Stu, what about yourself?
Well, I might as well talk about Justice League.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. So I decided I would sit through all 4 hours of this week.
Did you watch the original?
I have seen the original when it first came out in 2017, and it's terrible. It's an absolute mess.
Yeah.
It's just a mess of two different directors, two different styles, just like it's all over the place. But I'm not a fan of Man of Steel or Batman versus Superman. I'm not a massive fan of Zack Snyder's style. I feel like he writes his characters and his stories like a 15-year-old would write them.
Yeah.
Like a 15-16 year old. Yeah, this is awesome. Like that's how Batman should be. That's how Superman should be. And but I just got caught up in this big thing to do with the whole releasing the Snyder Cut stuff. And so I was just like, do you know what? You know, it's only fair to criticize it or, you know, not criticize it if you've watched it. So I said, fuck it, I'm going to watch it. I actually didn't mind it. I actually quite enjoyed it.
Oh, good stuff. That's good to hear. Like, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I went fully into this thinking, I am going to hate this. I'm going to spend 4 hours of my life, come out of it and be like, what the fuck was that? And yes, there are overindulgent parts. It's full of Snyderisms. There's so much slow-mo in it. There's one section where he does a slow-mo during a flash sequence and this like hot dog stand gets hit or something. And there's like a slow-mo of a sesame seed, an actual seed off a bun falling onto the floor. It's just like,
oh,
stuff like that. It's just it's so stupid. But the second half is kind of really holds together well. It's a lot better than the second act, like the final act of the original cut. It's a lot more cohesive, which you'd hope for in a 4-hour film.
Yeah.
And it does well by the characters Cyborg and the Flash. If you've seen the Whedon cut, they were just forgotten about.
Yeah, Cyborg was the worst ever character.
He did nothing. Did absolutely nothing. Whereas this film, he's pretty much essential. He's integral to the plot. He's integral to the outcome of the film. He has so much to do. And you can really understand why Ray Fisher was pissed off, not just because of the other stuff that might have gone on back there. There's, you know, accusations of bullying and racism and stuff like that. But in terms of I imagine him watching that film and just being like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
Where am I? I filmed all this stuff, all these things. Like, I'm literally a massive part of this film and you've cut everything out.
Instead, you've just put in Henry Cavill's Photoshop face.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah. And it works really well. Steppenwolf looks better. He still looks a bit, you know, he looks a bit like from a game CGI, like,
yeah, yeah, yeah,
like from a game, really. But he looks better. He sounds better. He's got more motivation, more storyline. You understand why he's doing what he's doing rather than just being a generic bad guy. But everyone really kind of has something to do, which is good. Some of it's a bit weird, like. Wonder Woman's introduction is really odd. it's the same introduction as the 2007 one, but they've added in some swearing and some blood and a bit more violence. And she just comes across as like really brutal.
Right. Okay.
Like, I mean, yeah, she's there trying to save these people from terrorists, but she does it in such a brutal way in this version. It's really odd. Especially that some of the dialogue in that scene and other scenes is a bit clunky, but overall, if I was giving it something out of five, I'd give it a 3 out of 5. It's probably the third best film about out of all those DCEU films. And you know, the guy went through a really horrible time back then. And that's why he kind of stepped away from the project. And it's nice to see him get this cut. And annoyingly, as much as I didn't like the previous two films, it's left me wanting more.
That's good. Like,
I really want to watch what he wants to do next.
Yeah. And like, it's good to see that like the DC universe has got, you know, some bit of a winner off of this, it seems like. Because like, those comic book characters, I would normally prefer to the Marvel characters, you know, just in general, from like, even like the old school days of even like, say, like the 90s Batman and stuff like that, you know, where you're kind of, or the 80s Batmans and stuff like that, where you're just like, oh, like this is really cool. Like just cool characters, they even like cool backstories as well, of like even just Batman and Superman, as just their backstories are so much cooler than I think a lot of the Marvel characters. But then you just see what the Marvel, the MCU has done, and like, and Kevin Feige and stuff, like just spearheading that, and like just the cohesiveness and how much they've planned this out, and that every film just makes sense, even like the worst ones of like fucking Thor the Dark World or whatever, like just are, you know, even like you end up, even though there's whatever like 23 24 films in that franchise now, you'd be happy enough to go back and watch every single one so that you're part of this whole universe and that you're part of that timeline. But like, you couldn't pay me to go and watch Batman versus Superman now, yeah, like out of a fucking four fucking like a tiny little universe at the moment that they've tried to develop, you know.
Do you think the problem with the DCU is that they haven't developed the characters enough? Like, you know,
I don't think there's a big plan. Like, I don't think that they needed a win off the bat, the way the Marvel universe got a big win off Iron Man at the very start, you know.
That's what I was going to say. Like, Iron Man wasn't the front and center of the Marvel universe before the movies came out. Like, you know, you had established Marvel universe characters, but like, they really worked hard to promote like Thor and Iron Man and release those films and put a lot into them. Whereas I feel like the DCU, almost like they did the Superman movie and the Batman movie, they didn't really develop any of the other characters, and then they just put out Justice League, as opposed to what Marvel did.
You're dead right. They're actually trying to rely really heavily on their heavy hitters from the bat, whereas like MCU actually tried to develop up those kind of lesser known characters on a grand scale. Like, you know,
that was my take, because I think I didn't go see Justice League in 2017. I'm pretty sure Stu said it was shit. And like, I don't regret not going to see it because of the critical praise it got. Like, I was looking it up actually when the new director's cut came out to see would I be bothered to even watch this, and like, it didn't even win. Like, it got nominated in the Oklahoma Film Festival for the worst film of the year, and I couldn't even win that. It came second in that, like, 2017 cut. So you know what? That's brilliant, Stu. Like, I'll definitely watch the new director's cut of that.
I think what it does well is like what you're saying about they didn't bother to develop the characters, whereas this cut actually tries to introduce you to that, right? This is the first film we're going to see the Flash and Cyborg, and it spends its time developing them, which is good, because in the other cut they were just thrown in for no reason.
Whereas what MCU did was they would have given the way they approached it for the Marvel Universe was they would have given the Flash and Cyborg their own couple of films before they released Justice League so that you were familiar and comfortable with them.
Yeah. I mean, imagine watching the first Avengers and they didn't do a Captain America film. He's just in it from the start.
Yeah.
That wouldn't... Why do I care about Captain America?
Yeah.
I know nothing about him.
Or no Iron Man. Imagine Iron Man, like you'd never come across Iron Man apart from a comic book before the first Avengers. It would have just not made any sense.
Yeah.
Because no, you wouldn't have understood Tony Stark at all. That's a good observation. Owen, what about you?
So I suppose to really go into escapism for me, in the last week or so, I started and finished a PlayStation game called Concrete Genie. So this is a game where you play, it's like a real indie small kind of game where you play as like a kind of teenage kid who like does kind of graffiti artwork, and he's getting like bullied by like these kind of like street kids, and it's all about this town called Danka, I think is the name of the town. But Danka, there was like this oil spill a couple of years ago, and like the whole town kind of got like saturated in this like darkness. So it was like at a time whereby the town got like saturated in the oil, but like also like people's kind of negativity kind of got in with this oil, so it, like covered all the walls with this like negativity. And then this guy, this teenage kid then like gets these like special powers then, because he's into this artwork, but he can like paint the walls. So it's just like real kind of like it's not a challenging game at all. It's like a real puzzly game, but it's just to like paint the walls of the town and to light up these light bulbs in order to light up the city and to kind of get rid of the darkness. But yeah, like really, really, really cool art style and stuff in it. Like this kind of I don't know, like it mixes up kind of this kind of like comic booky art style with this like very comic booky, but then also with a kind of like graphic art art style as well, at the same time, like through like the cutscenes and stuff in it. But like it was literally like pure escapism, like where you're just like, oh, really, really feel good, and like, you know, kind of like moral of the story of like bullying is bad kind of shit coming through as well. Like, but I just had a really good time just like playing it, like, and it was just honestly like pure escapism, because, you know, I think like before that then I was playing like Madden NFL like 21, like, which is a great game as well, but like sometimes I just like to dive into these like mad games of just, you know, where there's a story just taking you somewhere, you know. So that was a really cool one. I don't know, Stu, have you ever played like any kind of like those kind of like single player like narrative driven games?
Oh, all the time.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've got Concrete Genie because it was on PS Plus.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That's the reason I got it.
And you could play it in VR as well, so I'm going to give it a go in VR, see what that's like.
Mm.
But yeah, I play single player stuff at the moment. I'm playing the Miles Morales Spider-Man game on my PlayStation at the moment, Death Stranding on the PC, nothing on the Switch at the moment. My kids tend to play that more at the moment, but yeah, I just dive into all different kinds of games, to be honest.
I sometimes it's like really cool just to get lost in that world. I'm playing, after I finished that, I started playing Control. I don't know if you've ever played that.
Oh, I've got it. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So that's fucking freaky as well. Like it's such a weird game, but I love it. It's kind of like along the lines of like BioShock or something like that. But it's cool. Cool. I love just kind of like diving into those like pure escapism where you're just like, I'm literally like leaving this world I'm in now, and I'm just going to self-contain in this mad other world.
I did that recently. I just come off 100 hours on a PC game called Valheim. Like, it just me and a few of my friends that we play online with. It's like a Viking survival game. So it's full of building, fighting, mining resources, making weapons, making armor, and we killed the fifth boss, and now we're just waiting for updates because apparently it's going to be like another four bosses, but it's not going to be like the end of the year. But yeah, it's like 100 hours, and like it was just every free moment I had, it's like, right, I'm going to go on there, I'm going to do this, I'm going to build my house, add to my house. I've got my own little house, which has like all like my weapons that I've finished with now because I've upgraded to better ones. Like, I'm going to put them on the wall, and I'm going to, like, oh, there's the heads of my enemies on the wall, and I can make a throne. I'm going to put a throne in there and everything. It's just like, it just got a little bit out of hand, but it's like you say, it's like, it was such good escapism, and it's kind of on hold now.
I was going to say the wife waiting for you to fix the washing machine.
Oh, yeah. I've got, every now and again, she's just like, have you finished on that yet? And I'm like, oh, yeah, I was just doing that. And it's like, I planned on going on for, you know, I'm just going for a quick 20 minutes to smelt this ore to turn it into iron so I can build something. And then you're like, right, I've done that. I'll just go here. Okay, I've done that. Right. I'll just do that. And then you're like, you've sat there and you've been on it for like 3 hours.
It's 3 a.m., yeah.
I honestly, I swear, me and there's four of us. I've got a big like group of friends I play online with, but four of us got really into it. And some mornings it was like 3 a.m. time just gets away from you.
Yeah.
It does, doesn't it? Yeah, absolutely. Right, folks, I think we're going to wrap up the podcast there anyway, because we're getting into modern escapism levels of time of recording here.
Yeah,
we're going to wrap up the podcast and continue the conversation offline. If you want to look up modern escapism, as Stu said, you can search it. It's literally modern escapism on all the podcast apps, Spotify, app, iTunes. I listen to it on Podcast Addict. It's up there. It's very easy to find. Oh, really recommend it. Really, really recommend it. I fucking love it. It's great for me, like a podcast that I just dip into in the car or somewhere, going somewhere. It's a lovely podcast to have in the background when you're cooking, especially when you're talking about different biscuits. It works up a real appetite for your dinner. I was texting Stu today, just telling him that I was listening to him talking about Cadbury's Crunchy Melts as I cooked dinner. And then after dinner, when they got some, enjoyed them with my tea. So I highly recommend it. And you, as Stu said, you can find him on social media. They're Modern Escapism on Instagram and Twitter. It's really easy to find him on there. Give him a follow, give him a listen. You won't regret it, especially if you've the time to have a listen, and especially if you're into your TV, film, and gaming. You get some brilliant recommendations there. So, like since I've started listening to Modern Escapism, my watch list, my playlist has gone through the roof. I just don't have fucking time to watch or play any of these games or TV shows. For us, you can find us on, if you're new to our podcast, you can find us on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. We're at Snowcast and all of those. And if you feel like it's worth giving a few pounds to the cause, updating our infrastructure, or indeed giving us a few pounds a month so that we can help contribute to our charitable causes that we like to back every now and again, you can follow us on www.patreon.com/snowcast. On there, you've got different tiers, different levels of subscriptions you can subscribe to. So that's been this week's Snowcast. It's been a fucking brilliant chat. I think this is one of those where I'm going to have to go to the fridge straight afterwards to get another can, because we've talked about so much stuff online. I can't wait to delve in and get Stu and Owen's insights into some other games and TV shows to watch after we finish recording. You can give us if you want any info on that, give us an old email. We're thesnowcast@gmail.com. We'll send you on some of the games and TV shows that we've spoken about tonight and that we'll speak about off air. And lads, parting words for the listeners. Owen, go to you first.
Thanks lads for listening, and just check out Modern Escapism. There sounds like a fucking savage podcast. I know I'll be checking it out anyway.
So it's actually, Owen, it's right up your alley. I can't believe I've never actually said it to you in person. Like, Stu's going to kill me after this.
Well, we don't talk outside of podcasts.
Yeah. Stu, any parting words for listeners?
Just thanks for having me on. It's been a good laugh. Really nice to chat about it and kind of spread the word of the podcast. But yeah, if you're a massive nerd like me, then we'll be right up your alley. But even if you're not, you know, we recommend films and TV and everything like that, just the simple things in life. And we're there to try and get you away from the shit that goes on in real life. It's trying to distract you. So, yeah, check us out.
Shoot indeed. It's a slán for me, sláinte for me. Tórara, mind yourselves and take care, and we'll talk to you again next week.